Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 361. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show just a couple weeks later, but now a completely different, now married man. That's Brian Patrick Murphy of Mark Fisher Fitness and Best Life Radio. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm so excited to be back. This is the dream, man. I think I was on for 355, and to be back six episodes later, I was so honored to be on to begin with. And then when you asked me to come back, I was like, oh, he really means it, that he enjoyed what we talked about before. He didn't just make that up when we got off the phone to be nice to me. He must have really liked it and asked me to do it again. So thanks, man. I'm so happy to be here. And to everybody that's listening to this recording now, I want everybody to know that Kevin Larrabee and I get along quite well, and we've already been on the phone just chatting without recording for just like ever. So,
it sometimes happens, and it's I'm trying to not say anymore. It's funny that you say that, because people say that way too much, and I say it way too much. But I literally do say that. Oh man, this episode went great, no matter who's on the show. But it's usually just because I only invite people on the show that I want to talk to. So it's kind of win-win-win.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, man. If you've made it 361 episodes and you're able to talk to people that you want to, and you've wanted to talk to 361 people, I know you've had repeat people on, sure, like myself. That's impressive, and I really admire that and look up to that. That's good for you. That's really cool that you do that.
Well, it's the great benefit, and I'm even going to throw it up here in the front for people that aren't Patreon supporters. This is because we do have people that support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/thefitcast. People throw, like $1, $2, $3 per episode to help make sure that I can continue setting aside the time to produce these shows. And those Patreon supporters are going to get about a 30-minute agenda-free FitCast at the end of this episode. So after that music finishes up at the end, keep listening, because we go all over the place. We talk about books. We talk about Friday Night Lights. We talk about Bill Nye, not the science guy. I forgot I have to kind of preface that a little bit. But we go into a lot of different avenues. And if you listen a couple weeks back, that free one that I gave out to everyone with Georgia Dow, it is usually on the topic of lifestyle, but it can go off to movies or whatever. And it's just hearing more from the great people that I get to have on this show. So I will say, if you're listening to this and you do like podcasts, I already said it already, but Best Life Radio should be on your rotation in your phone, because you get to hear more Brian Patrick Murphy, some BPM after
Thanks.
The show.
That's awful nice of you to promote my stuff. That's really, really kind.
Well, you know what? People need more great stuff in their life.
I could not possibly agree with that more. So thanks for saying that. Yes, more of good things is a good thing.
That's why, if you want, go back, have that extra scoop of peanut butter. It's not going to kill you. So we have so many things to talk about. And two things real quick. We got a lot of great feedback from last episode. And, selfishly, I'm gonna take a second, because, I was talking, and you and I talked about it on that show, and it kind of happened after the fact, but I got rid of I got rid of like 90% of my video games. And I did the calculations. It was about $5,100
wow
worth of video games went to eBay and to Craigslist. And I even, some side, quick side story. One of the Craigslist ads got answered by like a kid in high school, wow, or maybe even a little bit younger. And I might have told you this. I think I might have told you this, because this was such an awesome story. But he initially was going to like pick up this like Nintendo console, and I met him at the train station in my town. And this was after they mistook my town for a town in New Hampshire. So they drove to New Hampshire by mistake, and then they said, oh, well, we still want to meet up, like, because he was getting driven around by what was not his mom, because he was calling her by her first name. So it might have been his stepmom, his aunt, or whatever. But she was incredibly nice, because she, again, drove to New Hampshire, then drove to Massachusetts.
Wow.
And they met me at the train station. We get down there. I'm like showing him. He's like, well, this isn't what I asked you to get. I'm like, oh, I must have mixed it up. Like, it, you know, I might have, because I had so much stuff on Craigslist. You just said like the Nintendo console. I might have mixed it email. So he told me what he actually wanted. I'm like, oh, well, my house is like 5 minutes away. Let's just drive off to my house. You guys just follow me and I'll just swap it out. So you guys don't have to, I don't have to make a round trip. And like, first off, this kid knew everything about this stuff. Like, he was hardcore. He knew the Japanese stuff. Like, he knew the stuff I bought in Japan. He knew what it was. He knew what to look for. He knew what games to check out. And I was like, all right, this is, if I'm going to get rid of my stuff, like, I'm not doing it really for money. Like, it's nice to recuperate some of the costs, but like, this is a good home. It's not going to some, like, you know, guy that's just going to flip the stuff on eBay and make twice what I sold it to him for.
Right.
This is a kid that loves this stuff. And you know, he was a little socially awkward. I'm like, dude, I was that kid. Like, I was like, this was an outlet for me as a kid. Like, this is the right person to give it to. So they're like, they're out on my porch and I get him the right stuff. And he's like, well, like, do you have any, like, what else are you selling? I'm like, well, let's, you look through this stuff. You make sure you're okay with it. I'm going to go into my house. Let me see what else I got. And I ended up coming. I went back and forth into my house three times with like more bags of stuff.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, well, I was trying to be fair. Like, I had this stuff on Craigslist and let's just say like it will do, I think he was initially going to buy like $100 worth of stuff. I'm like, or let's just say $200, because I was literally like quadrupling the amount of stuff that he was getting.
Wow.
And like, oh, well, you know, we don't have like, and this isn't like, again, anything about me. Like, they literally emptied their pockets full of money and like, oh, we just hope they take a card at the gas station on the way back. I'm like, forget it. Just what do you have? Like 150 bucks, you know, make sure you have 50 bucks for gas to get back to wherever the heck you came from. And I'm like, you guys are in good hands. Like, I gave them, they had to take two trips to their car. Like, I did so much stuff. And I'm like, this is the perfect place to, and it just, what I'm trying to say with this story is not like, oh, Kevin, you gave away all your stuff to a kid. Like, you're so nice. No, that's not the point. That wasn't the point of it. It was just like, A, how much better I felt that the stuff was going to a good place. So I didn't feel like, it didn't feel like it was disappearing. It felt like I was giving it to me from 15 years ago, which was super weird and cool. And then two, it felt so good to have all this stuff gone. Like, it really does feel good to be rid of this stuff. And this whole process, like, this was the initial purge. And then I did, I think, two or three more where I went back to the thing, like my shelf a couple days later, got rid of more stuff, put it up on eBay, put it up on Craigslist, got rid of it, went back again, did the same thing. And now I have like very little stuff, and I don't think about it like I did. No. I don't like look at the shelf and be like, oh man, I should be playing games, but I'm stuck working on, I'm typing emails, I'm typing this, you know, manual right now. I can't do it. So, all I can say is if you're thinking about doing this stuff, just get the ball rolling, because that initial, like, I got a big ball rolling to start, but it, God, it has made a real big psychological change in my life, for the better. And, you know, now I have an extra, whatever, $5,000 that I put in the bank and bought a new desk, which was like $200 at IKEA. But like, I'm just saying, we've all have this stuff in our lives that we probably don't need. You know, try to find a good home for it, give it away to Goodwill, put it in one of those, you know, I did the same thing with clothes, put it in one of those canisters where you can give it to the people that need clothes. I swear you won't miss it. You think you're going to miss it, but you really not. So do it.
I'm so happy for you, because, you know, just six episodes ago we talked, you still had, understandably so, a lot of like emotional tie into some of this. You know, absolutely. You'd kind of start to put some in the box, and we really talked a lot about it and got a little emotional about it. So I'm really happy for you, man. Congratulations to you. And of course, you know me, I was going to ask you all those kinds of questions, which you kind of answered, which are like, you know, how you feel now that you gave it away, and you already said that you feel amazing. I remember last time we talked, I said to you, you know, what had you been missing out on in your life by, you know, still having all those games around. I'm pretty sure that's what I said, something like that. So now I want to know who's doing the podcast here. No, but this is important. I want right. everybody to hear this. You kind of started to get into it, but tell us all what you've been able to do or what you've been able to get out of getting rid of all that. So what's it, I guess, brought into your life now?
Well, we talked a little bit in that Agenda Free segment, but one thing I've been doing more writing and having like a new creative outlet, because I think part of the game stuff was and like, you know, even like the FitCast and everything I do is like, it's always a creative outlet. Like I get super bored really fast. So I always need like a new thing to be trying out or a new thing to be doing. So it's allowed me to have more time for creative outlets, like writing a book for one thing. The big things was, I'm trying to think about how I can describe this, but it's almost like I've had new, like my mind has presented me with new options of things to do with free time, which weren't apparent before. And I just don't know if that was just like the turning of a page where you kind of just like get rid of everything on the text before then. And you're just kind of moving on to a new setup, but it's just like weird things. Like now, like I get out of my house for at least 2 hours to work every day. And this is like little things, but like getting out of like going down to the restaurant in downtown and, you know, getting some lunch, but bringing my laptop and like working and just talking with the people there and like socializing down there. I should probably write this stuff up because it's really hard to get it out right off the bat. I do think one of the big things is just like getting out of the house a lot more. It's been a lot easier to leave that stuff behind and have like the freedom to just like not think, oh man, I should be at home because I have so much cool stuff to do at my house. I have so much cool stuff to do there. And now I've just spent, you know, more time just going out and getting out of the house, whether it be seeing people or taking my dog. Like I took my dog up to like Rockport, which is a really nice coast, like if you know Massachusetts, a nice coastal city, like a really nice downtown area, and just like spending an hour up there, and it just does completely recharge, like re-energizes you and like refocuses your mindset on whatever you're doing, just because it isn't the same place where you walk all the time, or it isn't like the same coffee shop that you go to all the time. Finding some place or just new things to shake things up, which is super weird. I was just like in such a rhythm. Like it was just like trying to get out of, it was like trying to like get out of like the stream that I was in. Like it was like being stuck in rapids and trying to like swim out of it and get into the shore or something like that. But yeah, it's still, I would say it's still a process. Like it's still like having to let go of all that stuff. And I think, to be honest, like I'm down. First, I didn't realize I had like 430 games. I didn't realize that. Because they're in bins and stuff. So I got down to like 45 or 50. And I think a real big part of me just like wants to get rid of the rest.
Yeah. What's holding you back from that?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It's like obligations to go on, you know, do the Back of My Play show sometimes. It's having the opportunity to go on other video game podcasts. I'm actually working on another podcast with, maybe if I say it here, I'll make me do it this weekend and set it up. Yeah, I will. I'm going to do it right now. All right. So
yes,
I'm starting a new podcast, which is it is going to scratch the itch that Back in My Play let me do, but it's going to allow me to do what I just did with you before we did this show, which was get a couple people together and just talk about, okay, this is the premise. You get three people together. It's not original. You get three people together. You bring three different topics. The three people talk about them for, you know, about 15 minutes. We have a 15 minute discussion about it. Then we move on to the next person's topic. So if I had a discussion where like, I wanted to bring up the implications or the impact of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on kids in the 19, you know, late 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my topic for the show, and I would explain why I think it had an impact, and then, you know, everyone would have these before. And again, it's not super original, but it's going to allow me to, like, if I ever want to talk about game stuff, I can just bring it up as a topic on there. But I want to get people together, like, you and me are fitness people, like, technically, all right? So mm-hmm. you and I talk to each other, but you don't talk to the people that I talk to about video games.
Right, no, yeah.
Or, you know, the people that I talk to about tech stuff. So everyone's coming from a really different angle with all this stuff, and getting people together, because it's not everyone that listens to the show, but I have a lot of people that, like, listen to the podcast that I do just to hear. And I apologize if it sounds like I'm pumping my tires or something, but they want to, like, just hear my podcast because they like my personality for some reason at this point. So the, that's the idea. So it's going to be, I'm not going to necessarily say the name of it. But it's coming. It's going to be three people. It's going to be three topics, and three people are going to be from completely different, ends of the spectrum. Not all the time, all three of them, but, like, you know, it would be like me, you, and maybe someone that I know in the tech world, or people that I haven't talked to before, and I haven't had a reason for them to come on the Fitcast or Back in My Play. But it's like, man, I like really like their articles or something like that. I really like the stuff that they produce. So I want to have a reason to talk to them, and give them a reason to talk to me. So it's a selfish thing. Just like with the Fitcast, when I wanted to talk to people in the fitness world, I needed to figure out a reason to convince them why they should jump on Skype with a person that they don't know. And that's how I'm going to do it.
I think this is a great idea. And I cannot, now that you've committed to your entire 1 million person audience that's listening to your show, you have to do it now. Kevin Larrabee, where do you get the time to do all this? This is amazing. You do a lot of stuff. And you always poo-poo it whenever I tell you how amazing you are getting so much stuff. Then you're like, oh, man, it's cool. And I'm like, no, you do so much.
No, and that's the – I think it's working smarter, not – working
smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Something like that. I think at this point I'm just like really not really good, but I know how to do the stuff that I do, so I can do it and mm-hmm. not, you know, bang my head against the wall. But, you know, there's, I don't know, like, you just find, if you want to do something, you find something that you find time to do it.
Oh, brother, that is a super truth right there. I hope everybody listening, can you rewind that and say that again?
If there's something that you want to do, you're going to find time to do it. And that's like if you know someone, this was a relationship thing too. Like if you meet someone and you live an hour away from each other and you just say like, oh yeah, we wouldn't have the time to see each other. No, if you really, you know, want to see that person, you're going to find the time, you're going to make the time, you're going to make it happen. But you got to do that, right?
Yeah. If you're really excited to see each other, you can both drive 30 minutes and it's not that far.
That's true. Just like when Jim and Pam met halfway in the office.
Yes, they did.
Man, that's a tear-jerking scene. Wow.
Well, let's not get sad yet. Yeah. So that really is impressive. I am a big believer of that. You just absolutely do the things you want to do. I was saying to somebody I ran into on the street today, I mentioned this guy earlier. I don't remember if that was on this podcast or the subscriber, but I can't remember at this point. But essentially, we were talking about, you know, getting in shape or something. And he said, you know, yeah, I'm going to try to get in shape. And he stopped himself. He said, wait a second. No, I'm either going to get him in shape or I'm not. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm just, if I show up, I'll get in shape, right? If you just keep showing up again, then you define what in shape is for you. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, great. What's in shape for you? Awesome. So great. So show up today and then show up again tomorrow and you're getting in shape. You're doing it. You're not trying to do it. You're doing it. You know, it's like, if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to get sober, well, that probably means you're still drinking, mm-hmm. but if you went a day without booze, then you're getting sober.
That's the truth, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought I would just really start off with that. That sounds like a very BPM thing to discuss.
It is. And I mean, this is going out to everyone that I've had on the show, but I, you know, I'm definitely going to be hitting people like you up on this, because it's just like, it's a thing where I've been doing like a lot of reflecting. Like, I hate flying. I hate going to the airport. I hate flying and all that crap. But, you know, it's like when you get there, you're really excited to meet the people that are there. Like, wherever we go, whether it be like for Perform Better Summits, you get to talk to great people. And that's always the best. It's the best part of the trips.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to be able to, you know, talk to these people without like taking the train in New York. Although it would be great to hang out with you like we got to last time I was up there. But
that was awesome.
I love talking to other people, and I think I do my best work when I'm working with someone else. So when I get to bounce ideas off of someone and I feel like I'm not carrying the load completely, while at the same time being obsessive and, you know, controlling of my projects too, which is kind of weird, but.
So how does that show up in your coaching as a strength and conditioning coach? Do you feel like you do better work, whatever?
Okay. So here's the deal. So when, I don't coach as much as I used to. So I take two groups a week. So when I coach, like it's only me. Like when we have interns and stuff like that, like I think, you know, Kevin Carr, and like Ken at our gym, they kind of know not to give me interns because I won't let them do anything because it's like, this is my coaching time. Like, and I want to have everything done a certain way. I want to have things coached a certain way. And, you know, there's definitely plenty of avenues for them to continue to work on becoming better coaches in their internship, in other groups. Like, this is just one group out of the day that they're, you know, may not be able to get the reps in. And trust me, we have enough traffic where I can be like, they can go to another group where they can get their reps and, you know, be good. So it's stuff like that. I don't think with coaching, it's too big of a deal. If anything, I am obsessive about people's form it's turned into like you interviewing me, but it's like, it's to the extent of like I've told the story before, but like the first staff meeting, the first time I ever was at Mike Bull Strength and Conditioning before I started working there was like right when Mike was like kind of like saying, hey, do you think you want to come work here? I was like, Mike, and you know, close your kids' ears for a second. How shitty is too shitty? Like what is okay in terms of form? Because when I came in there, I saw a lot of really bad single arm dumbbell rows. I saw some crappy split squats. I saw some bad push-ups. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is Mike friggin' Boyle Strength and Conditioning. And literally it was just a case of like the coach was not coaching. And for me, it's just like one of those things where I need to have everything look perfect. Because it's like, why doesn't it look perfect? Mm-hmm. Like why shouldn't it? Like like what's the excuse to let your kid do a bad push-up and just like keep walking by? What's the excuse to let your client do a bad single-legged deadlift? What's your excuse to let them do half of a chin-up and not call them out on it and just think like you're going to hurt their feelings? Mm-hmm. Like that's not how I roll. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, hey, listen, that's certainly a conversation I love because I would love to continue that conversation with you because part of that I agree with and really think is true. So it's easy. I tell people I'm using one of my own lines that I'm stealing for myself when I first introduce myself when I'm teaching a class, let's say a new group of people. It's easiest to understand me if you know that my dad is a Vietnam vet Marine and my mom is a special ed teacher. So I can go both ways, right? I can feel like a real hard ass and kind of get up in you a little bit, a lot, or I can really kind of look you in the eye and touch your shoulder and cry with you with the best of them. And I use both of those as utter compliments, by the way. There's no two things I respect more on earth than people that have served our country and people that are teachers or specifically special ed teachers. So I say both of those with great humility and respect. But to say that is I definitely hear what you're saying to push people to do their best. But I love the conversation of, you know, I would really question you, Kevin Larrabee, and and of course in a friendly way, like, well, what is perfect? Like, you know, what are you trying to do? I'm one of those people. This is just, again, me. I'm not speaking for Mark Fisher Fitness. I'm speaking for Brian Patrick Murphy, that I don't believe movement is wrong. I don't believe there's such thing as wrong movement. That's just not my belief system. Mm-hmm. I'm a dancer. I don't believe, you know, I think there's some things that are, what I do believe is there are things that can serve your goals better for whatever your goals are. Mm-hmm. you know, Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning knows, with a lot of practice, what things can best help professional hockey players, you know, or humans, right? Like, what can help you burn the most calories or mm-hmm. keep you from getting hurt the best. But, I do think there's a lot of, for let's call it gen pop, you know, general population folks, that the lines can be a little more skewed, because what I don't want to do, I certainly don't want to coach somebody if it's their first day. And I know you're not saying this, I'm just using an extreme example mm-hmm. of their first day in there. And if they're not doing a perfect split squat or one arm row, I don't want to jump in their ass. And you know,
right. It's,
like, I know you're not saying that. I'm using an obvious example.
It's always like, you got to have context.
Of course.
You know, when it comes to this stuff, and to, you know, maybe to better clarify, this is a case of, like, I guess I'm just not okay with sloppy.
I love that. I think that's a great way to think of it.
And with the people that, with the people that I'm coaching, and this goes from, sure, every coach at MBSC, and also every one of my athletes can attest, I probably have not the most fun, but I have a lot of fun with my athletes because it's a blast. Like, I go in and I don't, like I've said this a bunch of times on the show, and I sometimes don't punch in, because I don't think of it as like, oh man, I'm clocking in for work. I'm going to have a blast for an hour and a half, and this is going to be like, this is my break from like getting off of like all like the email stuff and like the doing registrations and getting ready, like stressing out about like, oh man, do we have everything ready for our next event on Saturday? No, this is like, all right, I get to just help kids clean. I get to help people, help kids, you know, get one notch down on the rack for doing their push-ups and progressing them just a little bit this week. And
love that.
Like, for real, with all this stuff, it's, whoa, man, someone's pulling out the motorcycle tonight. I don't know if that got picked up, but
oh, that was awesome. It was like,
I guess the big thing was with me is like, you should never be okay with something that could be better. And this is not barking orders and like, oh man, BPM, you suck, man. Split squats are terrible. It's like, oh no, just, you know, make sure that you drive through your heel on the way up, because I can see where you're leaning forward a little bit. It's going to make it a lot more, it's going to be a lot easier for you to balance and do those split squats correctly. So like for me, it's always just, and I'm one of those coaches that like, I don't like just standing there. Hate those, like, I hate taking the great groups that like you don't need a coach. Like, that sucks. It's boring. I like the middle school groups because you're constantly fixing, you know, you have opportunities to fix stuff the whole time. Like 90%, they forget what a single legged deadlift is. You get to demo it again. And like,
yeah,
like that's the stuff that I guess I like at this point in my career.
Do you find yourself, I agree with you totally on that, by the way. I just love to push you a little bit. I think it's really cool as a coach whenever, you know, let's say you've worked with somebody for quite a while and you can look at them and you say, okay, what did you just do there? You know what I'm saying? You can really push them. You say, okay, you tell me what you think you did. And they'll be like, oh, you know, a lot of times if you've worked with them a lot, if they're well-trained, you know, and well aware, they'll say, oh yeah, I didn't do this thing. You know, I don't know. I didn't have my hips back far enough, whatever it is. Right. And then you're like, yep, now do it again. And then they do it. And you're like, yes, that's the standard I know you can do. So I'm going to hold you accountable to that, you know, because isn't that ultimately when a coach is at its best, when you can look at somebody and go, okay, I know, tell me what you did there. And they realize it and you say, okay, I'm watching you. I got you. I'm not going to let you do, like, I'm with you. I'm holding you accountable to doing it as well as I know you can do it.
I'm laughing because, like, isn't that the best feeling as a coach?
The best.
Like when you're just like I do this all, like, That's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's what's up. Like I always, and it's so, I'm almost like now realizing it now that you're talking about it this way. But I think that is, it's that that's like what is that's what gets us coaches fired up the most when you that's can right. kind of see those. It's almost like you're seeing those neurons fire finally, like they're making those connections and they've like they know Kung Fu. They downloaded it. They're ready to go.
I love that. I think you're so right. There's nothing that's a bigger compliment to a trainer than you looking at somebody going, "What'd you do? You know, tell me what that was." And then they know what it is because mm-hmm. you've helped them figure that out before.
Right.
And then for them to know that you're still watching them, like, right, you're still with them. You're still holding them accountable. So to make your presence known there and for them to say, all right, I can do it better. And they do it again and they do it, you know, well to their standard because everybody has their own standard, you know, or their, where they are and to do it their best. And you're like, all right, I'm going to keep holding you accountable because I know how you do this. Yeah. I know you know how to swing a kettlebell really well. I've seen you do it. So now I'm going to hold you accountable. My expectation is you're always going to do it that well.
And it's almost, I don't know. It's almost, I almost want to like compare it to, it's like when that teacher recognizes like when you do great work or something like that. And like they actually come up to you and let you know that they recognized like the extra effort or something like that, or that mm-hmm. you, that, I don't know that, I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, I agree with you. I see what you're saying. Yeah. You're acknowledging them. You're seeing
right,
them.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
People want to be seen. They want to be heard. And be acknowledged.
That's why, like, for we have our winter session coming up, and I'm going to try to get in some of the adult groups too, because it's like this is one of the things that we look at in terms of our programming side of things. You know, the new adults that we get in, they're very much like the middle school kids. Like, they have, mm-hmm. You know, some movement dysfunctions, they have some weaknesses, some key areas that are important for performance and for performing exercises correctly, and. I think the only like real big difference is that they tend to be a lot tighter in areas where the, you know, the kids at, you know, 12, 13, they're basically Gumby and they, mm-hmm. they pretty much don't even need foam rolling or stretching at that point.
Yeah,
still.
No.
But just because like it is like, those are just like the two populations like that it might even just be because that was like me growing up like that almost unathletic, like the person that needs the most help, that's who I want to help. I don't want to help the guy that's like benching 400 and trying to get 405. That
yeah.
just doesn't do it for me. And I think that's why I lean towards more like doing stuff with the adults or doing stuff with, you know, the kids that are the untrained people.
Do you ever work out with some of your professional athletes around there?
I do.
Yeah.
But not with them. We don't train with them. The last time we did that was like when I was at like Cressy's, there was like some minor league guys like way back then that sometimes would train with us, but it was just like they were in the same room. We weren't doing the same program.
Oh, okay. That was just my own curiosity.
Yeah, we kind of frown on that. We frown upon, I think the only thing that we're okay with is like once in a while, if you want to do it as like as a community thing, like if you have a personal training client or, you know, a small group, like a three or four people that you train and you want to like lift with them so you can kind of show like, yeah, like I can do this stuff too. And like, I'm in the trenches with you guys and we're all doing it together. And, you know, I know that this stuff sucks, but look at, I'm right there with you. Like I'm doing it too. So, for the most part, we try to keep all that stuff pretty separate.
Sure. Do you, I'm so sorry. I keep asking you questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, this is, we're just having discussions.
Okay. Do you have time in your day at where it's like the middle of the day and there's not people around at Mike Boyle where you can all work out or just kind of have to make your own time? How does that work?
Sadly, I think that's one of the big detriments of, you know, our staff cohesiveness is that we kind of like all just lift when we have our free time. We don't have mm-hmm. a staff lifting time.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, again, it's the nature of our facility. And I've mentioned it multiple times. I'll mention it right now. And, you know, you guys have a great crew over there, but I still think we have at MBSC the best staff in the industry.
Like
just seeing the minds that we have there, it is almost like just like everyone growing up at that gym and becoming like, look at Kevin Carr, look at what he's done at this point in his life. Look at, you know, Marco Sanchez, look at, Ken Whittier, who's only been there for a couple years, but he's like writing the programs at MBSC now. Nick Wilcox, look at like Anatako, who's now doing stuff in college. Like, we have so many people that they're not at our gym. They're where they want to be. They're working at like a Division I college, or they're working in pro sports, or you know, they're doing stuff at our gym and taking on more responsibilities. And I mean, I just think it's awesome to see. But I like I said, I think that's one of the big things that can help bring a staff together, and with those staff lifts. Or I think if you're like a gym owner out there, like, and you can make it work for getting your staff to lift together. I haven't been as strong as I was when I lifted with the staff at Crush Performance, because we always pushed each other. It wasn't just me doing my program. And oddly enough, the next, like right now, what I'm doing right now, like I haven't lifted at MBSC in like 3 weeks because I've been training at home. And one of the best things for me, and I totally recommend, this sounds super, super, you know, what's the word? Like I have a big ego or something like that, or it would make you have a big ego, but take every time you train, video something and post it on Instagram, just because it almost keeps me accountable to try something even harder.
Ooh, I love that.
Because you can't do what you did last week.
Turkish get-ups lately. They've been great.
Well, exactly. It's like, oh man, I can't do 36 again this week. I have to one up. It's like when you do crank two, you have to do a little bit more than, tell me you've seen crank two.
No, but I need to. I was like, are you talking about drugs like crank?
Okay. This is, do you have a Blu-ray player?
Dude, I don't know the difference in a Blu-ray and a DVD. I don't know.
Okay, you have something that plays movies though, right?
Yes, I do, I think.
Okay, actually,
I've never used it, but I think I do.
If you have Netflix, and unfortunately people on this show know my love of Jason Statham, but I want you to, I believe it's on Netflix, I want you to go into Netflix, and I want you to watch Crank 1.
I'm writing this down.
I unfortunately give you, it's unavailable to stream right now. Man, they took it off. It was on there a couple weeks ago, but
it'll come back on.
I will PayPal you the $8 to rent Crank 1 and 2 on Amazon Instant Streaming, because, wait, what was my point for all this? I don't even know where I was going.
I don't either, but I don't even remember either. I was like, wait, what were we talking about totally that got us into Crank?
I have no idea.
Working out alone, posting photos on Instagram, holding yourself accountable, trying new things.
I don't know. Okay. Oh yeah. So yeah. Crank 1 is a movie that is absolutely bat crap crazy. And then what do you do for Crank 2? You just have to like, it just goes off the rails.
Oh, you're using an analogy.
I'm using an analogy.
Well, you dug deep for that one.
I did. If you've been a long time listening to this show, you know my love of Crank 1 and 2, the Transporter series, and even underrated movie, Homefront. With Jason Statham.
I love that movie.
Great, great movies. You know, got to protect his daughter. So, what I'm trying to say is, like, this is, if you feel like you're someone who's like been lifting the same weight forever, and then you know, have friends on Instagram or Facebook and stuff like that, like, literally, you bet your ass, like, if I'm training 3 days a week, I'm going to post a training video 3 days a week, and I'm going to make sure every one of those videos is badass, because A, I'm in the fitness profession, so I have to do something somewhat badass. B, it has to be better than something that I did last week, because if I use the same weight that I did last week, people aren't going to like it. Like, I need people to like this stuff, because I want people to know it, that they like what I'm doing. And then three, it is just like, it's holding you accountable to make sure that you're using great form, doing something really heavy and cool and safe. And like, you're trying something better, and you're also using it as a way to educate other people. I'm like, oh man, you should try this exercise. If you feel like, you know, rollouts have gotten too easy, man, throw in a 40-pound weight vest into your rollouts. Trust me, it's way harder.
I love that while you're talking about this, I so agree with you. I just picked up my phone so I could go through the videos on my phone and be like, which of these things can I send to Kevin Larrabee right now so that I have videos of me doing so that he Oh, this is giving me great pleasure, Larrabee. I'm so happy to talk to you. I get so happy.
And maybe I'll even, if this is, this might be, this is more mainstream, but think about what they did, you know, Bad Boys, right?
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence, Will Smith. All right. What do you do for Bad Boys 2? That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You have to, you're, every time you train, it should be Bad Boys 2 is what I'm trying to say.
Or, should it be, oh, I forgot the name of the movie. Crap. Oh, man. It was a Jason Statham movie. Never mind. My favorite movie. That's so bad. All the action stars. Sylvester Stallone. They just
had the Expendables.
The Expendables. Good God, Brian. Yeah. It's the Expendables 4. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Who else did you get? Nick Cage. You get bring Stone Cold Steve Austin back, who died in the first one.
Oh, all of them. Everybody comes back.
Do you know Ice Cube? Where's Ice Cube? Why isn't he in that movie?
Oh, yeah. He should be.
Oh, man. Like Three Kings? That's a deep cut. All right. Anyways.
we just dove so far off the tracks, but I love it.
And the problem is, or I should say the thing is, like, people are either going to absolutely love this episode or they're going to absolutely like shut it off, which is okay because it's just, as I mention every week, or I don't mention every week. There's going to be a new episode next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder, though, should we? You did tell me.
You sent me a video.
Yeah, of course I did. I told you I was going to. That was from a year ago. Oh, you're listening to it right now. I'm pressing 3 kettlebells in one hand in that video.
That's some grip.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that one.
That's pretty good. And see, the thing is like I'm not going to, because I feel like if I keep talking about this, we're not going to talk about training, but, like that's the next step is I got to take my shirt off when I do.
Oh school. Yeah. Oh no, I'm not posting a video unless my shirt's off.
Right.
That's something that Jesse Nealon and I totally agree on is nudity.
Nudity. Sure. as long as it doesn't get you flagged. So this is going to lead me back into, you know, fitness and nutrition, because I feel like we have to go, you know, walk on that street for a little bit before we go back into the woods.
Let's walk. Yeah.
So when you, like, right before your wedding, you did post some pictures because you had some goals before the wedding date to get in some great shape. So what were your goals? What changes did you have to make? What was that process like?
Oh, did I tell you this or did you just know this?
No, I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, I think it was just Instagram because I actually, so I'm going to tell you this. Kyle Langworthy, one of the co-founders of Mark Fisher Fitness.
Man, it was great to hang out with him too. I didn't get to really hang out with him last time he was in Rhode Island, but it was great to finally talk to him and hear your guys' stories.
Oh, he's one of the truly great humans I've ever known in my life. Just a great dude. Very peaceful, awesome, loving, caring guy. But he actually, this is going to hold me accountable. I actually have to send that photo to him. He took those photos for me that I post on Instagram because he wants to use it on Facebook, a photo of me to talk about goals. And we have a small group of people that are in a kind of a private, not a kind of, but a private Facebook group of people that train at MFF. And he wants to be able to post this picture of me. Because he was proud of me, which makes me very happy. And I'm going to do that. I owe that to him and to myself to feel good about it. Anyway, right. So now I'm going to answer your question. So thank you. But you're right. So I posted a picture on Instagram of my progress because I never, you know, I get caught up in saying before and after pictures, but they're not before and after. They're just progress. It's like, where are you now? But I did have very specific goals. I was turning 37 years old. And then four days.
You're 37?
I'm 37, man.
God, you look like you're like 23.
Come on!
I thought you were like 30. I thought you were like my age.
Seriously?
Yeah.
God, you are really doing a good job making me like you. it's not hard. Not hard to like you is what I meant. So I was turning 37 years old and 4 days later getting married. So that was a very strong, at MFF, we would call that our why. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you showing up every day? Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I had a very strong reason to why. And so my specific goals were because that was your question.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to about 8.5% body fat.
Wow.
I had started really in earnest somewhere between 185, 190 pounds. I'm about 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to lose a little bit of weight, but I didn't want to really lose much strength. So essentially what I was trying to just lose, body fat, and I wanted to be able to really still be muscly and not just like look like I just lost. And I'm not judging this, of course. These were my goals. My goals, again, I'm going to just preface all this. This is what my goals for me were, to maintain muscle mass and strength and to lose body fat without losing like 20 or 30 pounds.
Right.
So I was really proud of it. And so I think people appreciate this too. So some other ways I went about it are I already knew I was strong or relatively, right, for me.
Sure.
So I had worked on my strength, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I had been training about 4 days a week. So my goal starting about 12 weeks out from my birthday was to kick it up to 5 or even 6 days a week to add something into my workout that is just a little more volumey, meaning like more volume of kettlebell swings or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do it also without doing any quote unquote cardio, right? Right. Without running, without cycling, without anything like that, without even taking like a regular class, like an MFF class, but just to do it all in the weight room, barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells. So that was fun. And I wanted to do it with focusing on nutrition, but without counting calories. So without counting calories at all. So there's a lot to this. So it went really well and I was really proud of myself and I got down to where I wanted to be. So that was a lot of fun to have that day where I showed up to work and I used friends of mine at work, which I mean, obviously I'm friends with everybody I work with, but I really used Kyle Langworthy and Matt Wilson, one of our trainers and one of my buddies, Tally, who doesn't work, but he's one of my best friends. He doesn't work there, but he would work out with me a lot. So I really used them to state my goals specifically. And I said, hey, listen, on this day, I invited everybody. I invited like 15 people. I said, hey, if you want to be there, I'm taking shirtless pictures of myself, or, you know, whoever's there is taking shirtless pictures of me. And it's happening at this time on this day. So I was really locked in to that happening then, so I could really see my progress. And there were a lot of days I didn't want to do it, but I would think of that day and knowing that my buddies were going to be there and see me shirtless taking pictures of me. So that really was one of the many driving forces. Oh, not to mention that it was my birthday and I was getting married. So that was a big commitment to myself too.
So for you, that was your accountability. That was your, you know, hey, I'm doing this. So if I fail, you guys will all know.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want to say, I know people are just like, you shouldn't say fail, but like, if I don't do it, like, oh man, like I got a little bit of this, you know, pressure pushing me forward a little bit, because if I, you know, fall back on this stuff, I'm going to be, you know, letting myself down, but also all these people are going to know that I wasn't able to do what I set out to do.
Exactly. Instead of me saying, obviously I knew it was a realistic goal, because I knew, you know, I'd been at that body fat percentage before. So it wasn't like I was starting at 25% saying I'm going to get to 5% body fat in, you know, 12 weeks. I knew it was, I was within striking distance, so to speak. So I knew it was realistic, but I got specific with it. I said, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to lose a little body fat. You know, could we hear that all the time? Yeah, I just want to lose a little body fat and this and this and this. And I think that's great. But for me, I needed to get very specific. I think the closer you are to a goal, maybe the closer you get to it, the more specific with it you need to get. Maybe, you know, when you're really training hard for something, if you ran a 420 mile and you said, oh, I want to get my mile a little faster, but maybe you said, you know what, I'm going for the 415 mile, you know, to get specific in your mind so you really know what you're shooting for. Mm-hmm. I found that very successful, you know, like when I went through the SFG certification, as I trained for that. That's another way. Okay, my goal is to get, you know, 100 snatches in, you know, 4 minutes and 15 seconds, not in 5 minutes. I want to do it in 4:15. For me, it wasn't, oh, I've got to just be able to do this thing in 5 minutes. It was, I'm going to do this in exactly 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
What did you think? That's kind of like the biggest thing that people miss when they do start putting their goals together, that it's just like, yeah, I want to get to 180 pounds or I want to get to, you know, this percent body fat. And they, I mean, that's a goal, but it's not really like a clear, concise, or even a descriptive goal. Sometimes people miss out on knowing exactly where they want to get to. And then maybe even more so, like, why? Like, why does this really matter to you?
Oh, you hit the two biggest things. Exactly. Once you added that last section on there about the why do you want to do this, you hit it. I was teaching a class today and I started to challenge them. I said, why are you even here? You know, what brought you here? Why do you even care that we're spending 10 minutes talking about where your hand's going to push up?
Mm-hmm. Do you get some responses?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of, I did get responses, but it was also rhetorical. I guess it was rhetorical. And non-rhetorical. But I was proud of them. And they're these people that are going through this 6-week thing right now. And I was expressing to them how great it was and to accept it for a moment, that to be happy for themselves that they've showed up so far. And I said, you know, we all have to do that. I work at a gym where I have keys and I can come anytime that I want. There's zero barriers to me working out. And it's still hard to show up and work out. Mm-hmm. So if it's still hard for me and I know what I'm doing and I'm safe and I'm strong and like I have all these things going for me. And if it's still difficult, I can't possibly imagine what most people are dealing with to walk into the gym with the fears and all that stuff. So I believe that is really important to really say to yourself, like, be proud that you did it. Be happy for yourself that you showed up, and then say, why do I even care that I'm here? Why do I care enough to show up tomorrow? You know what? Why? That's the only thing that matters, because if it really matters to you, you'll do it. The end. You just will. If you're specific with it. But if you're just like, yeah, I know I need to be healthy. A person was coming in. I was bringing this person on to Mark Fisher Fitness as a new ninja, as a new client. And they were saying, you know, I went to the doctor and I know I need to be healthier. And I was getting a sense that this person, that there was something deeper in there. So I pushed this person. I said, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Why is that important? What does it mean? And finally, after a few minutes, it didn't take much work. This person said, you know, the truth is I'm in my 30s and I'm going to die if I don't do this. My doctor told me I'm going to die. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding with you, Larrabee. It was that kind of serious of it. It was kind of the past the point of no return almost with this person. And that's a strong statement to say. And I said, great. I said, awesome. Right. So your first class is tonight. We're not waiting until tomorrow. You start tonight. And then you show up again tomorrow. Because it was very clear why. And then, of course, this person got to tell me why they didn't want to die this young, all the other things in their life they wanted to live for. And then once you start talking about that, then the thought of just showing up at the gym for an hour a day, 4 or 5 days a week, seems at least somewhat manageable.
I think that's where we end it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good bow.
Yeah. I just preached a little bit there. I like to preach.
And this sermon was brought to you by Duracell, the battery that keeps you going.
Well, my name at work is the Minister of Belief.
Well, we're not going to deal with the Ministry of Darkness, which is the Undertaker's fearless coalition of wrestlers that just dominated in mid-1999. Check it out on the WWE Network for just $9.99. So... they are not sponsored to the show. Vince, if you're listening, I know you like to train, trips. I know you do too. So anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this show. And I know it's not going to be the last time that we have you on, because, We didn't hit on one question that we got on Facebook.
I know. I thought about it. I was like, should I just? I'll just respond to them on Facebook.
No. I want to save them because we should share this stuff because not everyone's on the Facebook thread. I'm telling you, everyone who did those things on Facebook, I have them in a Word document in front of me, saved on my computer. So I'll save them for the next time that we have you on. But before we go into the outro, I will remind people, if you're a Patreon supporter, keep listening after the music. There's about 30 more minutes of stuff for you to check out. If you're not a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/theficass. And I know some of you guys have heard me say this like 40 times, 50 times, and maybe you've always like just thought about this and, you know, be, oh yeah, I'll do it when I get home. And then it just never happens. And, I'm totally cool. If you don't want to support the show, you know, and you're not in a position to do so, keep listening, keep checking it out, and you're still getting awesome stuff and you're still, you know, downloading the show, which is why I started this thing in the first place. But B, you know, maybe this is the time where you say, oh, right, I'm going to kick a dollar to every episode that's produced because, you know, I get something out of this, and I know this is me talking about my own content, but I do have a lot of people that come up to me and say that the show means a lot to them, and it allows me to continue to do the show. If people do say, I'm going to go to patreon.com/theficass and donate a dollar or $2 or whatever, 50 cents, whatever, per show, and help me continue to put these together, because we have had some drop off in Patreon support over the last couple of weeks. It would mean a lot if we had some new people step in to take, you know, step up where those other people may needed to have stepped down for financial reasons. So please go check it out. It means a lot. You get the episodes at least a week early. Plus you get bonus content if we do record it. Those agenda-free segments are at the end after the music. So thank you everyone out there that does that. And if you just want to go to iTunes, subscribe on there. Submit a review if you enjoy the show. Also, you can check out the show on Twitter at @FitCast. I am at Kevin Larrabee. Brian Patrick Murphy is old. How do you pronounce that? Is it just old?
Ole Miss. It's the college. It's the university I went to. Ole Miss. OLEMISS.
I got that. It's OLEMISSMURPH. And are you going to be recording some more stuff soon?
Oh yeah, I'm going to have some episodes with Best Life Radio coming up in the next couple of weeks. So that's going to be awesome.
All right. So what I want you to do, if you're listening to this right now, go to iTunes or use your podcast app. Subscribe to that now. So that stuff's just going to get dumped into your phone or your laptop or whatever automatically. Like it is like Ron Coe said way back when, you set it and forget it. And you're going to get that rotisserie chicken ready for you in about, you know, 45 minutes. So that is, oh man, what's that thing called? The something wave oven.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to think of it the second you get off.
Oh, Ron Papil, you beautiful bastard every Sunday morning selling me products. So,
Kevin, thanks for having me on again, man. I'm so happy.
Well, this is a blast. We got to hang out on a Friday night, and now I'm going out for Chinese food tonight, so that's going to be a mess.
And I'm going to celebrate you by going to eat a big steak.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's we're basically doing – it's the same quality of food, whether it be at the Chinese food place, wherever the hell I'm going, and I'm sure you're going to get something that's a little bit better than whatever they call it, beef teriyaki on a stick.
I hope so.
Well, you can check out theficass.com. Check us out in all those other places. If you're a Patreon supporter, keep listening. We got some more content coming to you in about 30 seconds. Thank you, everyone else, and have a great week.